You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Whoever fights monsters should see to it that in the process he does not become a monster. That's Nietzsche. Fighting Monsters is an intelligently and evocatively written memoir that brings to life the war zones and broken, twisty, dusty battlefields and border towns of northern Syria. Former Royal Marine Jim Matthews gave up a lucrative career teaching English in Saudi Arabia and returned to northern Syria to fight ISIS alongside the Kurdish forces. But why, after years as a revolutionary left-leaning anti-war protester, did he find himself pulled once more into a conflict zone? That is the subject of Fighting Monsters, a first-hand account of battling ISIS. It's by Jim Matthews. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from the UK. Jim Matthews, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good to have you with us. So tell us a little bit about yourself, because you had served in the military, you joined the British Army and became a Royal Marine Commando.
I should probably correct that, actually. I think that's a mistake on the part of my publisher. I was actually in the British Army, Marines and Navy. Might seem a point to some, but there'll be a lot of ex-Marines out there that'll be very annoyed if I don't correct that. I was an Army commando, actually.
All right.
The Marines run a separate course for soldiers. Anyway, just to get that out of the way.
Right, we don't want to annoy any Royal Marines out there. So tell us a little bit about your time then in the British Army. You were in former Yugoslavia?
Yes, I was sent to Bosnia, former Yugoslavia, in 1996. Not a very remarkable or dramatic time, to be honest. The war was pretty much over by then. Didn't really do much real soldiering. I mean, that was a very different time to be in the military. That was the time of peacekeeping, blue berets, blue helmets, all that sort of thing. It's just a very different time. What followed the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan and so on, that was a big shift, I think, and a big change. I wasn't really part of any of that.
So you left the army and made a step career change. You went off to study English literature?
English and European philosophy and literature. Yes, I went to university straight after the army.
And so you're there, you've taken your degrees, you've got your degrees. What was up next for you, and why was the pull to fight ISIS? Because as it says in the press notes, it describes you as revolutionary, left-leaning, anti-war protester.
Yeah, lovely words. I suppose while I was at university, and I suppose during my last year in the army, I started to just think a little bit more about politics and what was going on in the world. I got into political activism, I suppose you could say, left-leaning, for want of a better term. Ended up going to places like Palestine and then becoming, I suppose you could say, anti-occupation, anti-war protester. Had a little bit of involvement with the European anti-globalization scene, as it was called, as well. And spent a few years doing things like that. When I actually went to fight ISIS in Syria, it wasn't a massive I didn't see it as hugely different from things that I'd been involved in before, basically. I went there because a humanitarian catastrophe was underway. I didn't feel like enough was really being done. Like a lot of other people, I was alarmed and appalled by the rapidity with which Daesh, the Islamic State, were spreading and taking ground and apparently being allowed to. And it seemed like an emergency. I felt that I had skills and I could contribute something. I made quite a quick decision, and so I went over there. Spent a year there.
I mean, when you say, a lot of people might have been being appalled to see the rise of so-called Islamic State. But how does one actually? And I'm not saying this is going to be a how-to guide for anybody who thinks they might want to go off and fight, with the Kurdish, the Kurds. But how did you actually approach them? Do you not just rock up and say, I'm here, I've got military skills, take me on?
Essentially, yes. In fact, you don't even need to have military skills. I mean, the Kurds are very, very welcoming to foreigners. It's a massive morale boost for them to have people from all over the world come and join with their struggle. It wasn't very difficult making contact with them and getting instructions to fly to northern Iraq and getting picked up and very, very quickly processed through some very rudimentary training into battle.
Now, you joined the YPG, which is the Kurdish Militia. What was their morale like? And, did you have any trepidation, going to fight ISIS? Because, they have a reputation for being brutal, to the point of being barbaric.
Well, absolutely, yes. I mean, it almost seems like a black and white struggle in some ways. I mean, of course, no war ever is. But, I don't think it's an oversimplification to say that the YPG are pretty much the good guys, and Daesh are, well, they're what everybody sees them as, and people see them as this monstrous sort of force, and I think they've pushed that sort of image themselves as well, and so it's quite easy. Of course, it shouldn't be seen in completely black and white. But for me, the morality and the ethics were relatively clear, unusually for a modern war, I suppose. On the morale itself of the Kurdish fighters, huge. I mean, they are extremely happy and energized and engaged in what they're doing. They go singing into battle. They spend the time dancing dancing around fires and singing revolutionary songs when they're not actually fighting. Yeah, the morale is extremely high for them. And of course, at the moment, the Daesh are all but routed. There's a lot of uncertainty about what will happen next because Donald Trump, the American president, says he wants to pull U.S. troops out. Now, U.S. troops are the major coalition partner assisting the Kurds, and if the Kurds are sort of abandoned now and left to their fate, then a lot of the former Daesh fighters who are massed on the Turkish border will almost certainly commit a repeat of what took place in Afrin not long ago, which is basically ethnically cleanse one of the enclaves, the YPG and SDF protected enclaves in Syria. They're waiting to do that again. It's going to happen again. Basically, Turkey will use them as a proxy mercenary force to go in and then rout the Kurds from that area.
Because this
change the demographic on the ground overnight. So it's very fragile. The future of that area is very fragile at the moment.
I was going to say, because you bring in the Kurds are, Turkey regards them as a terrorist force. And you can say that Donald Trump is pulling out for the SOP to Turkey. And obviously you found yourself in a quite incredible situation when you returned to the UK from your year fighting against so-called Islamic State.
Well, I did, yes. I mean, terrorist law was used against me. I was arrested on return. 2 years after my arrest, the decision was made to charge me. 6 months after that, all charges were dropped. Now, we never got any clear explanation as to why I was charged. Similarly, we never got any explanation as to why charges were dropped. The court said it was up to the Attorney General to explain this to the public, and the Attorney General said it was up to the Director of Prosecutions, Public Prosecutions, i.e. the court. So far, no explanations are forthcoming. Some people would say I made my own bed here. You know, you go off and do things like this, you can expect trouble, and I've got no problem with that view. But I do have a problem with the way terrorism law is being used. The law needs to be predictable. The law needs to be consistently applied, and those enforcing the law need to be accountable to the public. And at the moment, we've got none of those things. It seems to be a very, very randomly and inconsistently approach to so-called terrorism, which is not in the interest of the public at all. Whatever you think about me and people like me who go and do what I've done. Having the law in such disarray like that is in the interests of nobody.
Not only that, but I mean, the thing is that we are always being told that, you know, we have gone to war. I mean, you know, the UK went to war against the, you know, weapons of mass destruction, but has been, we're always being told about a terrorist threat. I mean, not saying that, you know, everybody should rush out and do what you did, Jim, but in the meantime, when you got back to the UK, you found that the Crown Prosecution Service had tweeted that you were being charged, or somebody did, and you lost your job teaching. And in the meantime, they did what they often do, which is basically freezing all your assets.
Yeah, my bank account was frozen. That made life very, very difficult indeed. Yes, a passport seized, bank account frozen, lost my job. Yeah, it was a very, very tough period. Fortunately, I've got a lot of good friends and other people around me, and my family as well, some of my family. And so it was made more bearable by the people around me, but it was extremely tough.
Well, you're back on your feet now. How do you describe then your experience in, you know, in northern Syria, because it's people say, oh, you know, make it sound like a mercenary, but you're not going out for money. I mean, I would liken you to perhaps something that happened during the 30s when the international brigades fought in this country, in Spain.
Yeah, that's a comparison that's been made quite a lot, actually. And I think there's a similar spirit that takes a lot of people, a lot of volunteers over there. This sense of fighting against a fascist force, which is oppressing and subjugating people and subjecting them to all kinds of privations, and gaining ground and gaining popularity. Yeah, those comparisons have been made. Yes, absolutely. My own experiences on the ground. I mean, the fighting is. It's chaotic. It's obviously it's violent. There's no non-violent way to fight a war. It's extremely intense.
I mean, how close was the fighting? Are we talking about towns? Are we out in the open country? What's the terrain like? What was it? Presumably, it would be nothing like you had experienced in former Yugoslavia.
No, very, very little like that at all. As I say, when I was in former Yugoslavia anyway, things are winding down. Most of the fighting I experienced in northern Syria was from village to village and small towns. There were bigger cities, battles in bigger cities like Raqqa, but I wasn't there during that time. I was in northern Iraq fighting in Shengal, which was a city since been liberated from Daesh. At that time, we had the mountains and some of the outlying suburbs. They had the city, and it was just a very static exchange of fire, pretty much daily. The fighting is, how can I say, it's usually quite low level, and quite chaotic. To be honest, quite messy.
What did you meet any other foreign fighters with the Kurds?
As in fighters from
Europeans, fighters who were, you know, who weren't Kurdish, but people who had joined with the same reasons, the same if you like ideology as you.
Oh, absolutely, yes, yeah, including several British people.
So, why did you decide then the time was right to write the book Fighting Monsters?
Well, I think I wanted to do it from quite early on, so I was taking notes while I was out there, and it's taken me some 2.5-3 years to really get it right. and finished drafting and redrafting and so on. It's been a bit of a labour of love, as I'm sure you can imagine.
And what do you hope, then, that people take away from the book? Do you hope it brings support for the Kurdish forces? It crystallises that situation, clarifies that situation? What do you hope that people will take away?
My first goal was just to show people what it's like there, really. There's a lot of speculation, but I just wanted to really put the reader on the ground there and make them feel what it's really like and understand a bit more about what's happening there. If it could make people consider what's happening over there and take some interest. And actually acknowledge the massive debt of gratitude that we owe to the Kurds and the Kurdish-led forces. They've lost thousands of people. They shouldn't just be abandoned now, just because America says that Daesh are finished. Partly because they're not, really. I mean, the ideas and the people are still very much alive and well. And partly because, you know, we really do owe the Kurds and the Kurdish-led forces a massive debt of gratitude, I think. So I'd like it if... Yeah, I would like it if people took that from what I've written.
The book is called Fighting Monsters. It's out now on Mirror Books. It's by Jim Matthews. Jim, if people want to find you and you know get copies of the book, it's going to be available as a download via our virtual bookstore. But do you do the social media thing? Is there a website they can visit?
I don't think there's a website for it yet. It is available on Amazon and similar outlets like that.
And what's next up for you then, Jim? I mean, you're currently teaching English as a second language, I believe. What are your plans? Is there plans to do a follow-up to this book? What are your plans for the future?
I might, if this book does okay, I might get the chance to write another one. I've got a few ideas. I don't really know what about yet, but I sort of got the writing bug now, I suppose, so I'd like to try something again. In the immediate future... I don't know. I'm teaching. I quite like my job, but I might take a short holiday somewhere.
Well, enjoy the holiday. The book is called Fighting Monsters. It's out now on Mirror Books. It's by Jim Matthews. Jim, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.